And welcome in to the Tuesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road. Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Hope everybody's doing well. Joe Rex Road, what's going on? How are you? Good morning.
Good morning. I'm doing fine, but I'm really interested in hearing about the first day of school with Professor K. I'm here for that.
Michelle, how was your first day?
Well... So it was great once I got to the classroom. We had, I left my apartment at around 4 o'clock. Not smart, need to leave earlier. Classes until 6. Took me an hour and a half to get there. Just made it to get my parking pass at the transportation services. And then I parked my car and I started walking and I got lost. And I was wearing high heels, which was not smart. And all of a sudden, my walking GPS took me off campus. I'm ordering an Uber. It's 6:05. I'm like, oh my God, if it ends up being 6:15, they're all going to leave because, you know, once it turns 6:15, you can leave if your professor's not there. Yeah. I roll in sweating at like 6:12 and I was like, I am so sorry, everybody. And I was like, welcome to class. And then after that, it was great.
Michelle setting that tone early. I like it.
Yeah, but so I have blisters. And was struggling.
Did anybody leave?
No. Everyone was there. But they're great. They're excited. Kim Smith from the Titans spoke. So other than me just completely being in shambles before I got there and having sweat drip off my forehead as I stumbled in, it was amazing.
God, that's better than I even could have imagined.
Yeah,
that's
me fantastic. Too. That really just...
Well, listen, it gets even better. After class, some of the students were walking out, you know, introducing. I'm like, guys, I am so sorry right now, and this is probably really ratchet, but I need to take my shoes off. And I was walking barefoot because my feet hurt so bad. I was like, you know what? We're really all getting close here.
Yeah.
Some bonding.
Michelle just breaking down those barriers before... Things ever got weird.
Exactly.
That's how it's done right there. Very good stuff. Congratulations.
Thanks, guys.
On a successful first day.
Yeah, I guess you could call it that.
Good stuff. Joe, I checked out a little Nashville Predators informal skate yesterday. They've got some guys back in town. We're not that far away from hockey.
Yeah, I saw the tweet. I'm like, what's going on with the Predators? But you got to see some Askarov, huh?
Yeah, he looks I tell you what, he's going to be interesting. The guy, he made a couple saves yesterday that were just unbelievable. And, you know, he's still raw and got some work to do, but the talent is pretty obvious. Yosu's back in there. Duchesne and Johansson back in there. There's only like eight or nine guys. Fabro, Borowiecki was in there. So more guys will start rolling in over the next couple of weeks before training camp gets here. But hockey will be here before we know it. Big win yesterday for Nolansville again in the Little League World Series. They just continue to roll right along. 5-2. They get it done yesterday, Joe Rex Road.
Well, and you're talking about tying run comes in the sixth, and Indiana has bases loaded, no outs.
Yep.
So it's basically, you know, bottom of the sixth. So that, yep. You know, they're one just advance, basically ball in play from sending Nolansville to the losers bracket, and you go Jack Rhodes strikeout, and then of course William Satinoff at shortstop, who's already had an ESPN top 10 play recently with a diving catch, and then they blow it open to win. It's pretty amazing what this team's doing.
It is, and they're gonna be back at it on Wednesday, so hopefully they can keep it going on Wednesday and continue this very good, very fun run that Nolansville has been on in the Little League World Series. So, Joe, we said yesterday on the program, at least I said yesterday on the program, that I think the right tackle battle for me needs to probably be over, that Nicholas Petitfrere should be the day one starter at right tackle, and an interesting development at Titans practice yesterday. It looks like Dylan Radins was doing some work at the guard position and tackle yesterday for the Titans. Now, Vrabel, you know, kind of downplayed it a little bit and talked about, you know, different guys, you know, wanting to move around and all this other stuff, and had some guys out. So Dylan Radins was at the, you know, it moved inside yesterday. But to me, I mean, doesn't that kind of tell you that the right tackle battle is maybe done at this point, and Nicholas Petitfrere is going to be the guy?
Well, at least it tells you that Dylan Radins is done with the right tackle battle. Right. You know, that's, yeah. Now, whether they actually are comfortable with Petit Frere just going with him from day one, you know, we'll find out. That's, I don't think that there's anybody else on the roster right now who's going to compete with him. I mean, I suppose the Titans could do a switcheroo and send Jamarco Jones over there and send, and, you know, have Radins, you know, compete with Aaron Brewer at left guard. But my guess is it's either Petit Frere. I mean, we've seen very little from Jamarco Jones. He's been hurt, and then when he's been healthy, we've seen very little. So it's either Petit Frere or someone TBD. So Gentry Estes, who we're going to have on later, told us on the show a couple weeks ago he thinks it's someone out on the roster. Now, it's that got a step closer today. But yeah, I mean, right now I'm gonna assume that it's Petit Frere, and like you said, I mean, you know, Vrabel's not gonna come out and say, well, he's not gonna be our right tackle,
right?
He can, you know, but not getting any work there at all. That's, I mean, you're not gonna not give someone reps right now if they're gonna possibly do that job. So that's pretty much it. And this is one of those situations where, what we all saw is kind of what the coaches saw too, right? I mean, what everybody thought they saw, which was Dylan Radins really struggling to play right tackle. Apparently, it was same thing that the coaches saw. He also did play, according to TD too. You know, there was a second group with Radins at left tackle,
yeah,
and Andrew Rupsich at right tackle instead of him. So, but I think the whole left side thing that Dylan Radins has talked about, you know, and with an excellent analogy, maybe he's just going to be on that other side now, and they'll see if that helps him.
Well, what do you think this means for him in terms of, is there any chance at all that he competes at left guard? Like, is there now a chance that, you know, he could give Aaron Brewer a run at left guard? I mean, I honestly, to me at this point, I think it's probably a little too late in the game for that. Like, I think Aaron Brewer's probably going to be the starting left guard, and, you know, maybe Dylan Radins can fill in if there's injuries down the road. But, you know, it just kind of feels like he's going to be, to me, he's destined to be a backup at this point, whether that be tackle or a guard.
I agree. It's possible. I mean, it's possible he could get in there. And obviously there are people worried about Aaron Brewer's size, and there's going to be some matchups where having someone, you know, 30 pounds heavier would be beneficial. But I mean, all indications we're getting on Aaron Brewer is that they love Aaron Brewer. And this is his deal. So I'd be surprised. And we've talked about this. You've got to have a swing tackle.
Yep.
And again, I suppose like a Jamarco Jones could, in theory, be that guy. But with Radins, I mean, he's worked a lot at right tackle. He's started an NFL game, you know, at left tackle. So that's what I think he's going to be. I think so if he's working at left tackle on this day, first day where it's basically like, Dylan, you're not going to be the right tackle, that tells me that they're preparing him to be that guy, to be the swing tackle. And yeah, I mean, he's a backup player. I think they gave, it's an interesting situation because I know, you know, let me read a tweet for you from a fan who, you know, very good. I think he's actually been on a podcast before, a very knowledgeable fan named Jamal at Jamalism, says it's always weird when there's a guy who fans seem to have a better handle on than coaches. I've seen a lot of people saying he should be a guard, and they've been saying it for a while. If he loses the right tackle role, it's a bizarre blind spot for coaching. And I hear what he's saying, but let's be realistic here. The Titans had a first round pick at right tackle who completely flamed out, and this is a second round pick at right tackle. So whether it's John Robinson saying, hey man, you got to give this guy every chance, or the coach is just kind of knowing it, he was going to get every chance to prove he could be a right tackle and to put in that work. Will that cost Petit Frere if he's the starter and he didn't get every rep? I mean, you could make that case, but I get it because, I mean, you've got to see if he can do it.
You got to see if he can do it. And, you know, look, they going back to the offseason, I mean, they were going to give him every chance. I think Vrabel at the combine talked about, you know, Keith Carter's charge is to get him ready to be a starter. And we'll get to that part of it a little bit later in the show, but doesn't look like that's going to be the case. And now, I mean, here we are, the beginning of his second year. And we talked about this a little bit yesterday. Like, to me, it's pretty apparent that he's never going to live up to being a second round pick. Like, he's just, he's not. So now what can he be moving forward? Like, can he be an effective guard if put in that situation? Can he be an effective swing tackle? Like, is it to the point now with him where they just don't want him playing right tackle at all, and he's just totally exclusive inside at the guard position? Like, I'm really interested moving forward here how they view him. And if it is Jamarco Jones, it's going to be the swing tackle. Like, I'd probably like to see what he looks like at tackle over this next week or so.
Yeah, and I don't know. I mean, Jamarco, that's just throwing a name out. It's just hard to even.
Well, he's done it before. I mean, it's the.
Yeah.
They don't have a ton of options there.
For sure. Yeah. Well, here's the thing. And this is not a great thing for the offensive line at large. Look, we've been talking about Petit Frere. I mean, I've been saying, I think at some point Petit Frere is going to take that job. Wasn't sure when it would be. The bottom line is there's not a huge difference between the two right now. And I think there's a, I think Petit Frere can advance. You know, I think he's got more potential, but I mean, there's not a huge gap. And so, I mean, overall, if you go camp every day, with the naked eye, at least, there's not a huge gap, which tells you that if Raiden's had to come in, they'd, you know, like, he'd probably do a comparable job. The question is, how good is that? How good are either of them at the starting right tackle spot for a, you know, for an NFL team? I mean, that's the scary part. I guess the good thing is, like, you're not falling off a cliff if you have to go from Petit Frere to Raiden's, but the question is, where are you starting?
That's a great question. We're off and running here today on Robbie and Rex Road. Taking your thoughts on the right tackle position. How concerned are you about the Titans offensive line heading into this season? 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll continue that discussion next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game.
Thought, you know, continuing to work on our conditioning, which is critical.
I asked Nicholas Petit Frere about just the versatility, playing left side and right side, and he said you can't have any complications in the NFL. How impressed have you been with him, just with how he's able to, you know, work at both of those positions?
Well, I mean, I think that's something that we're always looking for, is that you have some versatility and flexibility to play more than one position. Nick's shown that, and then there's been some other guys that, you know, young guys that have been able to do that. You know, Rogers, you know, doing that as well. Chig's, you know, learning multiple positions of the tight end, you know, responsibilities.
Dylan kind of in a situation where you able to use his versatility, get him some work at guard and all?
Yep, just trying to shuffle guys around. Just trying to shuffle guys around and see, you know, we've got had some guys out. And just trying to figure out where guys are going to be best served for themselves and for us.
That was Mike Vrabel yesterday discussing the offensive line for the Tennessee Titans. Just shuffling some guys around, seeing where they're going to best fit for the Titans. And Dylan Raiden's not at right tackle yesterday, moved over to the guard spot. And it has the question out there, Joe Rexroad, is the right tackle battle for the Titans over? It certainly looks like at least Nicholas Petit Frere is the option right now. And the question now is that going to be the option the Titans have moving forward, or will they address that elsewhere when some more cuts are made, maybe around the league? So this is going to be really interesting. And I think before the break, you know, in the last segment, you brought up what really is the question. Let's say it is Nicholas Petit Frere. Is that good? Like, is he a quality right tackle starter in the NFL? Like, nobody's expecting him, I don't think, to come out there and be, you know, an all pro to begin play, but can he be competent at the right tackle position to begin play? I mean, that to me is the big question. And Joe, we've been talking about right tackle for, I mean, it seems like a year at this point. And, you know, it's been the top concern, I think, for this football team as a whole for the last couple of weeks anyway. I mean, we talked about receiver and I think most of us feel a little bit better about receiver now than we did before the time the camp began. I'll be honest with you, I feel worse about right tackle now than I have at any other point. From the standpoint of, you know, it would have been nice for Dylan Radins to be ready to seize that role out of the gate so you don't have to go with a rookie. And maybe Nicholas Petitfrere is just going to be fine from the jump. I don't know. But to me, I don't know how, if you're a Titans fan right now, and quite frankly, I don't know how, if you're Rabel in the Titans, you couldn't be pretty worried about that spot based on what we've seen thus far.
Yeah, it's not great. You know, it's obviously Petitfrere is right now going to get major opportunity. And again, I like Petitfrere for sure as a guy who I think can be a good player in the NFL. It's a matter of timeline now. And how many lumps are we talking about for a rookie to take, you know, early in a season, if that's how it turns out? I mean, the Titans in the John Robinson era, unless I'm forgetting someone, they've had one rookie who started from the jump. That was Jack Conklin in the first season with John Robinson as GM. His number 8 pick after taking the number 1 pick and trading down and trading back up to get Conklin. And you're talking about an all-pro and just a great player. And then you had Nate Davis eventually, the third-round pick, getting that job in 2019, which is a big part of that. And they had to go through hard times with, you know, Jameel Douglas over there and all that stuff. And
still dreaming about Calais Campbell, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Boy, what a sweet Thursday night that was in Jacksonville.
Big time.
And I think that's it, right? So, yeah. And Isaiah Wilson gets like whatever, 4 snaps or whatever he got a couple years ago. Again, you tell me right now that Nicholas Petitfrere is going to be a good long-term starter in the NFL. I'm not going to blink at that and say no freaking way. I think there's a lot to like about him. It's just he's a rookie who is not a finished product, and he was said to not be a finished product coming out of Ohio State. And I mean, the guy is, yeah, I mean, he's going to, based on everything I see from him and talking to him, you know, he's going to uncover every rock. I mean, he's going to do everything he can to be great and all that, but it's probably going to be rough early. That's just reality. So how rough? It's hard to know. It's hard to tell. Does it matter? Does it help a lot to not have someone, you know, not be splitting reps, not be looking over your shoulder? Coaches love competition. Coaches think competition brings the best out of people, but sometimes, you know, knowing that it's your job can be beneficial. So I think that's the hope right now. And probably in this, like this week in particular, you know, the Cardinals and everything, last preseason game, trying to get a look to see, you know, just what he can do with all the reps. And then that personnel staff, John Robinson staff, I mean, they're watching every twitch of every tackle who may be out there right now. You know, that's the case.
Oh yeah. There's no question about it. And look, I do want to say this, like, we viewed Radins and Petitfrere, I guess, kind of through the same lens for a while in terms of just, you know, generally speaking, when we talk about this, because they've been in competition with each other. It is two pretty different situations. I mean, one is a second round pick that's entering in his second year, and the other one's a third round pick that's a rookie that, I mean, I think there's reasons to feel really good about Nicholas Petitfrere moving forward here. And I think that's probably something to keep in mind. The question is, I don't have concerns about him long term. My concerns with him are short term. Like, how long is it going to take for him to be ready to be a competent starting right tackle in this league? And in the meantime, as you're trying to figure all that out, what does that mean for the Titans and their bottom line early in the season? Because, you know, the Giants, their pass rush was significantly weakened over the weekend. So, you know, maybe you're not as worried about that game as you once were on the line of scrimmage. But right after that, you got the Bills and Von Miller and company. I mean, there's some tests early on. The Raiders in week 3 with Chandler Jones out there. I mean, there's some tests very early on that are going to put this offensive line under a great deal of strain, and how long is it going to take for them to figure it out, both at the right tackle spot, but really as a whole as well? Like, you know, Nate Davis has been hurt. I mean, there's a lot of things with the offensive line right now that I think are concerning in the early part of this season. And how long is it going to take them to figure all that out?
Yeah, we don't know how healthy Nate Davis will be. Now, it is good that at least he's coming out for stuff. So
yeah.
I don't think it'll be long before he's back out there, you know, getting reps with the team. Don't know how good Aaron Brewer is going to be in an actual NFL season. Don't know how banged up Ben Jones is going to be. Guarantee you there's going to be some limping between plays.
Oh, yeah.
And you assume, I do, that Taylor Lewan's going to have a good year. I think he will. I think good year is the expectation and or the floor maybe for him. But you know, do we know for sure he's going to be vintage, you know, peak Taylor Lewan? No. So, I mean, if he is, then a lot of things follow from that, and that's a big deal. But there's a question. There's some kind of a question everywhere, and obviously, then you have the right tackle that could be a problem. So, it's not great. It was the biggest concern. Now it's like, I mean, we used to argue about offensive line receiver, and I still like I'm not sold that like this is going to be the greatest receiver room ever. But I think they're fine. You know, I think that they can play winning football. Offensive line stands alone now on this team, and it's just of the places that you could be weak. I'm sure like a linebackers coach would say, well, no, linebackers have to be strong or whatever. But I'd pick a lot of different groups on a particular football team to have questions about over the offensive line.
Well, and it goes back to Tannehill as well. Like, one of the things that he's going to need this year with this receiving group is protection. And can this line give him that? I mean, can Nicholas Petit-Frere on that right side, you know, can he be ready to go? Now, look, there are ways that you can combat this if you're the Titans to begin the season. Like, I think it's pretty safe to say that they're probably going to give him some help to begin the season. Like, Taylor Lewan, a lot of the time, is probably going to be singled up on the left side, and you're probably going to hold the tight end there at least sometimes to give Nicholas Petit-Frere some help to begin the season. But again, that goes back to what we talked about with Jonnu Smith 2 years ago. How much are you limiting your offense when that's the case? And the tight ends, you would think, are going to be a big part of the passing game this year as well. So it's not the ideal scenario for the offensive line. And look, every offensive line, every now and then, you're going to have to leave help in there. Like, it's not like there's an offensive line out there where it's just every single play all the time. You're leaving all five of them alone, and that's what it is. We recognize that. But when you start to have a rookie right tackle, it may be a little bit more often than you want to if you're Todd Downing in the offense.
Yeah. I mean, I guess from the Todd Downing perspective, he's known all along, whichever one of these guys it is, like, that's going to be the case, right?
Probably so.
Like, this is not some big change for him. But, yeah, it's not ideal. And it's on him to figure things out and to still, you know, make things work. And there's still just a big range of, okay, got to help, got to chip someone, leave someone in. Or, like, are you just not able to block anybody over there? You know, I mean, there's still a big range of what Petit-Frere could be, if it is Petit-Frere.
We'll continue the conversation on the Titans. What does the latest Dylan Raiden's news say about John Robinson? Had a little bit of this discussion yesterday with Heidi bringing it up on the text line. We'll revisit that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on the Titans on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We'll have Caroline Fenton from Stillman and Company coming up at 7 o'clock. So looking forward to that conversation with her. Ron on the text line says, I believe the Titans should bring in a couple right tackles or linemen that can play multiple positions. We don't even have a starter, so we definitely need depth in that spot. I'm guessing before week one, they have a few tryouts. I'm nervous like you, Robbie. This is coming from Ron on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Rex Road is extendedly muted.
I had to ponder Ron's comment for a moment. Give me a
lot of great thought. Good job.
Let me take a puff off my pipe as I think about that comment. I don't think it's going to be like, I mean, they do have like a bunch of offensive linemen on the roster. It's not like they're going to have to completely replenish their room. It's just, I mean, what you need to find is a starter.
Yeah.
I mean, there's been other offensive tackles working out there. You know, you got Jalen McKenzie, rookie from USC, son of Reg McKenzie. You know, I mean, it's not like he's looked terrible to me. The Rupsich, as I mentioned, rookie from, you know, Culver Stockton College, by the way, you know, which you don't see that every day in the NFL. Yeah. So they've got a few guys out there. And like we mentioned, I mean, Jamarco Jones kind of came in with the idea of he could play either one. He just hasn't distinguished himself in any way. And I just don't know, I don't know where things are going for him. They've got plenty of guys in the interior. You know, I think Corey Levin is, I mean, at this point, from what I've seen, he's going to make the team. So you could have with Brewer, obviously moving around Davis, you know, Levin, if he's in there, a guy like Jamarco Jones could pop outside, you know, but does that actually help you? I feel like my guess right now would still be Petit Frere starting in the opener. But also, because, you know, if you go, whoever's out there, what are the chances that you're going to be able to find someone and say, come right in and here you go. You're starting. Thank you. You know, in a week. I mean, I guess basically in almost, you know, you have almost 2 weeks by the time, like the whole roster. Obviously, today the Titans have to cut one more guy because they cut four yesterday. And then the final cut down day, I think, is a week after that. So you're talking about 12 days. Right when the you're gonna have the waiver wires flooded, with players. So in all likelihood, whoever you pick up, if you pick somebody up, is a depth piece who maybe could at some point compete. But Petit Frere has been working the offense all along, and he's probably gonna be the starter. Like you said, the Giants are banged up. Thibodeau's hurt. So is that? I guess maybe in the opener you could have a little bit lighter day before going to Buffalo.
Let me tell you,
when it will not be a light day.
We are really setting them up for like a Giants 25 point win. We really are.
Oh, no doubt. Danny Dimes is just, yeah, he's just ready to just explode here in year three. Yeah, no question. But I mean, it's just not realistic to think you're going to go out there and, hey, all right, here's a great starter at right tackle, because NFL teams just let them go on the street.
That's always been something in this conversation that I just think is going to be really difficult to find if that ends up being the way that the Titans have to go. So, Joe, with this latest development with Dylan Raidens moving inside yesterday and apparently not in the right tackle battle anymore, that's a second-round pick. And he's probably not going to be a starter. And maybe, look, I don't know. I'm not going to sit here and act like Dylan Raidens can't continue to grow, because he can. But right now, he just kind of looks like a career backup to me. That looks like the track that he's on to me. So if that's the case, based on what we know thus far, what does that move, that second-round pick, and the saga that it's been, say about the Titans and say about John Robinson in this ever-evolving search for a right tackle?
Well, look, the first thing a lot of people are going to say, and I'm not saying it's unfair, is, you know, what's going on with offensive line scouting with the Titans? The problem with that is, I think Isaiah Wilson is a special case. It's not that they didn't scout his ability as an offensive lineman. Now here's a comment that and this is one of those comments that I guess I can't say who said it, okay? But from the sideline at one point, there was a little bit of fan back and forth, and someone mentioned Isaiah Wilson, and one of the Titans offensive linemen said, you know, right now he could be the best right tackle in football if he wanted to be. Now, is that true? I don't know. But that's how one Titans offensive lineman feels. Isaiah Wilson, I think most people would agree, like, he had the potential as a player to be very good. But that's a total flame out for a different reason.
Right.
You know, you get to Raiden's, and it just looks like a miss, just a miss on, and it, not a miss on intangibles or anything. He's out there working his butt off, and I'm like, God, is Kaharsky going to write to see if he would have said, "This is my job"? Then, like, it would have been totally different. I mean, I guess you could say, does he have the, you know, is he snarling enough as an offensive lineman? But I don't buy that, man. Go out and do the job well. You don't have to be. Dennis Kelly's the nicest, most soft-spoken guy. Dude, Jack Conklin. I mean, Jack Conklin is the nicest guy in the world. You know, maybe a little bit of a mean streak on the field. I mean, he hits people, but, like, you don't have to be, stereotypical football guy to be an effective offensive lineman in the NFL. It's just Dylan Raiden just, from what I can tell, he just isn't strong enough, limber enough, just bendy enough. I mean, he just isn't good enough. And so they missed on the evaluation of him. And now we're going to see with Petit Frere. Again, I think that I think they have something with him. It's a matter of time. Go through the whole history of John Robinson drafting offensive linemen. There's some names, some deep cuts I can throw at you. We mentioned Conklin. Got that right. All yeah. Pro. Now, maybe what they got wrong was not paying him, right? When they could have kept him, but in theory could have kept him. But,
well, it's a decision that is continuing to cost them draft capital. I know that at least.
It is true. Would have cost them money, but has certainly been costly to not have him. Others have included sixth round pick Sebastian Tratola from Arkansas, who, by the way, I've said this before, would have been the greatest quote in the history of the NFL had he not been a bad player. You had Corey Levin, a sixth round pick in 17, and, you know, he's on the team. He's kind of bounce around, but that's not bad for a sixth round pick. Brad Seaton, seventh round pick. So, you know, you can't judge. I mean, these are, you're taking flyers on guys. And then obviously we know about, Nate Davis is a very good pick. Very good pick in the third round. I mean, everything in 2019 was sweet.
Yeah.
You know, pre-pandemic draft was like the greatest draft ever. And I believe that's it, right? Then you go to Raiden's, and then this year you go to Petit Frere. So, I mean, that's what people are going to say, and I get it. I don't think there's, like, some specific offensive line blind spot with John Robinson and his staff. But Raiden's it's a killer, man, to have that as a second round pick where you are in this situation where you're so close, you know. Where you think about what else you could have done with the first round pick in 20 and what else you could have done with the second round pick in 21. And again, I think the first round pick in 21 right now is at least trending to be someone who helps your football team, and maybe with good help this year. But those two picks are just, I mean, and honestly, if you want to go to Darrington Evans as a third round pick, you know, I mean, there's a lot of lost opportunity recently for a roster that has been built up to be a one seed and to be a two-time division winner and to be so close.
But I'm, you brought up Farley. I'm glad you did. Like, to me, and I thought about this yesterday, is separate from just the Titans and what it means on the field for them. For John Robinson, like, he needs Caleb Farley to be a good player. Like, he needs Caleb Farley to be able to help this team this year, because you don't want to go looking back at the 2020 draft with Isaiah Wilson, what happened in the first round, Goodwin with Christian Fulton, it's looking like, and then Darrington Evans in the third round. And then fast forward to the next year, like, if Caleb Farley can't play or can't stay on the field, all of a sudden it's Dylan Raiden's as a backup that you took in the second round, and Caleb Farley can't help you in the first round. Like, he needs Caleb Farley to be good and to be available and to be a player for this team this year.
Yeah. I mean, look, ultimately what he needs is for this team to be good. you know, because
he does. But at some point, like these draft picks are going to, if you continually miss on them, you're backing yourself up to where the bottom line is going to go the other way at some point if this continues to happen.
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree. I mean, I agree. Like, you know, like I suppose you could say, well, hey, if this year's second round pick is just better than Farley and he's really good and you're good at corner, then okay, and you're good team, fine. But I agree with you. I mean, in general, you miss on enough picks high, the bill will come due.
No question about it. 615-737-1025. We'll continue this conversation coming up next. What does the latest development with Dylan Raidens say about John Robinson and the Titans? 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 1025-1063 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road. Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We're talking Titans and the offensive line. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Jim on the text line says, about trading Brett Kern for a right tackle. It's coming from Jim on the text line. You think Kern could fetch a right tackle?
I think Kern could fetch a right shoe.
Wow.
Well, I mean, I'm not ripping Kern, but I mean, like, what do you, like? I don't think anybody's trading for a veteran punter. It's trading like a starter quality offensive lineman ever in the history of the NFL for a punter. Maybe Reggie Roby in 1987.
I mean, I'm trying to think of GMs around the league. Like, if Urban Meyer maybe was still in Jacksonville, you might be able to pull that off. They changed the culture down there.
That's right.
Which we'll hear about a little bit later in the show. Mike DiRocco coming up at 9 o'clock. Looking forward to that. But
the new culture.
Yeah. I don't know if trading a punter is going to do that. I mean, I am interested. Like, if you're John Robinson in the Titans – how do you view this right now? Like, are you willing to entertain making a trade for a tackle out there? Like, I don't know who that would be. And this is what we keep coming back to. Who is the tackle that, number one, either somebody is willing to give up, number two is already available, or number three will be available sometime in the next week and a half, that is you feel better about starting for you right now than Nicholas Petit-Frere? Like, I don't think that list is very long.
No, I agree. I mean, if it's a clear starter, then why is a team parting with the clear starter? I mean, I guess basically the conditions would have to be, you'd have to have a team that feels great about three tackles. So maybe like the third tackle, you know, is still better than what you have or could start early, or at least could give you good depth. I mean, that's still worth exploring. I mean, if Dylan Raidens is your swing tackle, you don't feel great about that. And then also a team that knows it's going to be bad. I mean, I'd say, like, look at the Lions' collection of tackles, but apparently they're going to win 10 games this year. So what team right now enters the season? Man,
they had a player-led practice yesterday, apparently, and it's all the rage now in the NFL. Dan Campbell was the only coach out there, and he was just watching, didn't say a word.
I mean,
that's the culture he's established.
Put me at 11. Put me. They go to 11. I'm not satisfied with 10. They're going to 11. I mean, how many teams going this season right now are, you know, already, can content understanding they're going to be garbage? I mean, maybe there's maybe the Texans.
I mean, if the Chicago Bears aren't, they probably should be.
Well, yeah, they've got their own offensive line issues. Yeah. I mean, it's worth it. Everything's worth exploring. What would the Titans have in surplus? It'd probably be, you know, they'd be trading like a low pick for some kind of veteran. But I mean, if it was trading positional players, their surplus would be what?
Outside linebacker.
Yeah, they got a lot of not touching that. They got a lot of good outside line. Sent Ola Dainey for a tackle. corner, by the way, I was very surprised. See, that's a tough break for Shakur Brown.
Yeah.
I did not see what happened to him Saturday, but obviously he got hurt in that game and he's waived with an injury. I thought he was going to make the team. And so that must be a pretty significant injury. That does, I mean, that chips into their depth a little bit. They have other corners, of course, but I thought he was going to be maybe like that fifth corner. I think Chris Jackson, he's back on the field. That's good news for them. Now I put him back on the roster. Yeah. Wasn't sure about him. Maybe a Maben now, but Brown was kind of one of those camp revelations who is gone.
Going back to the J-Rob part of this discussion, got a texter on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com that says, it tells me the front office and Vrabel have massive ego problems, and they think they're the smartest in the league. Talking about what the Dylan Raidens situation tells him or her about John Robinson and the Titans.
Okay, but again, I need explanation on the ego problems. I'm sure, like, as far as think they're the smartest in the league or whatever, you know, I'm sure, you know, I'm sure you could probably say that about a lot of different groups around the league. You know, I mean, there's ego and there's confidence. Like, to me, that, like, I would look at a couple years ago with, I think the worst signing John Robinson's had, against all other information, that was like an ego move. And why am I forgetting his name now?
I mean, Vic Beasley?
Incredible. Yes, thank you. Yeah. That was like that to me read like it. Well, Vrabel will coach him up, and of course the guy just couldn't play, didn't want to play. It was exactly what everybody said.
Yeah,
like that to me goes to that. And I guess I don't see how this is just a bad evaluation, right?
Well, especially like I don't know how it would speak really all that much of anything of Vrabel. Like, John Robinson's the one picking the players. Now, I'm sure Vrabel has input. Don't get me wrong, but like Vrabel, once you pick the guy, like, Vrabel's job is to try to do whatever he can,
yeah,
to get him ready to play.
Right, and so now you know where people will go. Some people will go to offensive line coach Keith Carter. I mean, yeah. I understand if a player at a certain position is struggling, look at the offensive line coach. Now, if the offensive line is bad this year, people will talk about the offensive line coach. I guess, you know, when you look at his entire tenure, you have seen good examples of development. Two I would point to would be Nate Davis, who got tremendously better during his rookie year, or just wasn't ready early and eventually, you know, became a very good player. I mean, look at Aaron Brewer. Again, yep. We'll see how good he is in the NFL in a regular season, but
we're getting ready to find out with Aaron Brewer.
Yeah, there's a guy who's developed and been good. I mean, I look at this. It's natural to bring up your O-line coach, and Keith Carter's been under fire before, early in that 2019 season. Oh, Keith Carter. Why is Keith Carter not fired? But, I mean, I look at this, and I think it's more a missed evaluation than it is anything. Vrabel, like you said, Robbie, earlier in the show, Vrabel sent the combine. Well, it's on us. And that's what he's right. You know, they had to do everything they could do. They've worked with him. He's gotten better. He's not good enough. I look at this whole situation, I say he just wasn't good enough. He isn't good enough. And there was some belief in some things that he has from the scouting process that those things aren't true.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how you could come away with really any other conclusion at this point. And now to kind of put a bow on this part of the discussion, you know, what does it mean for him moving forward? Like, is he going to be a guy that eventually they trust to play some significant snaps at guard or on the left side? I mean, like you said, he moved to left tackle. He's talked about, you know, being more comfortable on the left side of things. You know, is he going to be the swing tackle moving forward? Is he going to be the backup to Aaron Brewer? Like, you know, there's still a chance at some point he's going to have to play this year. And the question is, where is that going to be if that happens? Like, I find it hard to believe that the Titans are just going to get through the whole season totally unscathed on the offensive line. You hope they do from an injury standpoint, but most of the time that's not realistic in the NFL. So there's a good chance he's still at some point this year probably going to have to play for this team.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, this is the, I guess you could say, the good thing or the very scary thing. Like, if Nicholas Petit-Frere starts the opener and, like, for whatever reason, like week three, Dylan Raidens comes in for him, like, it's not like there's a chasm between them. Okay, It's not chasmic like a starting quarterback to QB 2 and 3 with the Titans. So, I mean, he's more ready. He's definitely more ready to do these things. It's just, obviously, he's not ready to do it at a high level. And at this point, if you're not, then really, like, how much better are you going to get from here?
Yeah.
Like you said it earlier, and you nailed it. He looks like a guy who's going to be a backup in the NFL moving forward.
David on the text line says, I thought we were ready to move away from Dennis Kelly, but he was that favorite shirt your wife made you throw away and you regret it. That's from David on the text line.
I like that. And now your rival down the street has picked him up out of the trash and he plays for the Indianapolis Colts. So
yes,
tough.
It is.
Your rival dad joke dude down the street has the shirt. Sorry.
The guy on the other side of the fence in Home Improvement has picked up the Dennis Kelly shirt. No question. By the way, real quickly, Wes pointed this out earlier. I can't believe you've not brought it up so far. Mariota slinging that ball around last night, wishing they had him as a backup quarterback, from Wes on the text line.
Yeah, sorry, you can't have the comeback player of the year and the starter on the future NFC South champions as your backup. It just doesn't work that way, buddy. Just enjoy the show.
Just enjoy the ride with old Marcus down there in Atlanta. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Caroline Fenton from Stillman & Company. We'll get her thoughts on the Dylan's Raiders situation, her thoughts on college football back this week as well. All that coming up. Let me tell you about my friends at Twin Peaks. They'll hook you up for your fantasy football draft party. And they got all kinds of great food as well, including the double stack nachos, loaded fries, and multiple flavors of boneless wings. And you can relax with one of their refreshing 29-degree beers as well. So hit them up for your fantasy football draft party. They'll give you a draft board, player stickers, free Wi-Fi, a $50 bonus for the commish, and a $5 bonus card for each drafter as well. Call Twin Peaks in Cool Springs to book your fantasy football draft party at 615-108-69. Once again, that's 615-221-0869. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.